as we live our lives, and through God's providence, we experience different things at different times, different seasons. There's a time and a season for everything. We know in our heads, and we seek to know by our hearts, that these seasons are brought to us by the Lord. There are times of great laughter and joy, and there are times of great sorrow and sadness. And yet, through it all, I don't know if you guys listened to Brother Bradley's message this morning on the radio, but the phrase that he used is just the phrase that's on my mind today, and that is, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. We're going to have a sort of an unusual service today. We're going to have some time of prayer and time of testimony, and then, Lord willing, in time of baptism. So praise the Lord for the events of our worship service this morning and our time together today. The battle is the Lord's. I was reading in 1 John chapter 3, trying to memorize 1 John and study through it. And I just want to just grab one small thought from 1 John 3 and try to tie it back into the idea that the battle is the Lord's. 1 John 3, we'll read verses 19 through 24. And hereby we know, there's that assurance, we know, we're convinced that we are of the truth, we are of Jesus Christ, and shall assure our hearts before Him. What a joy it is to have the assurance that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to know that our lives are held together by Him. That He has chosen our downsittings. He has chosen our uprisings. He is with us. If you remember in Lamentations 3, when Jeremiah was struggling to see the faithfulness of God, and then God gave him that assurance of His mercies that were new every morning, not old mercies or used up mercies, but fresh mercies every morning. And he remembered that the Lord was his portion, and realized it was good to go through affliction. It was good for his soul that he might bear the yoke of affliction. And Jeremiah clings to God for assurance. I'm going to turn back there just for a moment to catch one verse here in Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah confesses in verse 37, "Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good." Now, he's not saying that God causes evil or God causes man to sin, but he is saying that all of life, all of our lives, all of our moments are superintended, directed by a God who's wise, and a God to whom his children whose mercies are new every morning, and his compassions do not fail. The word compassions there, I mentioned this in the camp on Tuesday night. The word compassions there is the same word that is used when the two women were fighting over the child, and Solomon had to decide which woman was the right mother. And so he made that pronouncement that let's just cut the baby in half, knowing that whoever the real mother was would rise to the top then. And that's what happened. The false mother said, "Okay, cut it in half, and we'll just each share half." And the real mother said, "Please do not cut it in half." Her bowels were yearning after this child from the innermost part of her being. She said, "I would rather give this child up forever than to see this child die right now." And that's the compassion with which God cares for His own. We see this when He brings us out of the throes of sin and convicts us of our sins. We see this when He comforts us in time of affliction. We see the compassion of God in just giving us breath to breathe and causing us to be able to get up the next morning after a terrible day. God's yearning after His people with love. Now, what a blessing it is to be assured that God loves us. That's what John's talking about. Then John says this in verse 20. For if our heart condemn us. You ever been there? Sort of a three-actor play here. Your heart is the accuser. You are the defendant. And God's the judge. And sometimes as our heart is condemning us, it's condemning us for good reason. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? And sometimes there is a justification in the accusations that are brought against us. In fact, most of the time, there is justification in the accusations brought against us. But listen to what John says next. Even when our heart condemns us with sorrow, condemns us with self, with guilt, condemns us with loathing, condemns us with doubt and fear, even when our heart condemns us, listen to this, God is greater than our heart. Isn't that good news? The battle is the Lord's. You know, the phrase "the battle of the Lord" is used at least twice in Scripture. One of the times it's used when David was at a high point. He had experienced God's victory over the lion and the bear. He came to the camp of Israel. They were besought by the Philistines. He saw the lack of courage that was being evidenced by his brethren and by the other soldiers. He was so shocked and dismayed that they would be so filled with doubt when God was God. Have you ever been at that point in your life when you're just sure that God is God and nothing can stand before me? And David cries out, "The battle is the Lord's." And he goes and he engages the giant in battle, and God gives David the victory because the battle was the Lord's. That's a high place, right? Well, the other place where that's used is in 2 Chronicles 20. It's a very low place. Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were besieged by the Ammonites and the Moabites and some otherites. And they realized that their victory was far, far from them. And there was one man who reminded this wilting multitude of these words. And he said, "The battle is the Lord's. The Lord will fight your battles for you." And they started praying, and they started singing songs of praise to the Lord. And sure enough, the battle was the Lord's. And those Ammonites, and those Moabites, and the otherites, when they came out to do battle against the people of God, they ended up doing battle against themselves and slew each other. And the people of God didn't even have to lift a single sword, because the battle was the Lord's. At a high time with David, at a low time with Jehoshaphat, friends, at all times, the battle is the Lord's. Now, what is the Lord battling on behalf of? What is the Lord doing in these battles? He's not just making our way easy. It's not what He's doing in the battle. God's goal in battle is not to make our way easy, but God's goal in battle is to proclaim the name of Jesus as being exalted above all. The Lord's goal in your life is for you to see Jesus as the way, the truth, the life. And there is no other way but Jesus. In other words, the Lord's battle in the life of the elect is to cause you to depend upon Jesus and to forsake all else, that you might have Him as and nothing else as your source of strength, as the friend who sticks closer than the brother. He sometimes strips us of everything, right? That we may know that He and He alone is worthy of our notice, of our fellowship, of our communion of our trust. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. You see, what for the child of God, what God knows that sometimes we don't know, is God knows that He laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. He never forgets that. God never forgets that He laid on Jesus Christ what you deserved, and He has credited to you what Jesus Christ earned. Justification is an incredibly important truth, reality for the child of God to keep at the forefront of his mind. But notice also the blessing of an uncondemned heart. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. We know what it is to live with a condemned heart, right? A distressed heart. But there are times when the Holy Spirit comes in and does a great work of salvation, of conversion, of renewal, of giving obvious blessing to us. And it's a beautiful place to be. A place where the heart is tranquil and uncondemned. When you know that my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. That's a place of great tranquility, isn't it? The heart is not being condemned anymore. As Paul said in Romans 8, there is therefore right now, and you're able to experience it, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you go, I know that I belong to Him. I know that I love Him because He first loved me. And here's what we enjoy in those times, the peace of an untroubled conscience. We enjoy communion with God. There's a confidence towards God. We enjoy communion with God that is free. It's not restricted by anything else. What John is describing here is the boldness with which a son comes to a father, as opposed to the trepidation that the accused comes before the judge. And what a blessing that is. A heart that is not condemned. Friends, by faith, the call of the minister of the gospel is for all of us. The command of Scripture is for all of us to repent and believe. What that means is, it means that we believe. We believe that what God has said, that He has laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all, and that we are healed by His stripes, to walk, to not just to know that's true, but to embrace it, and to embrace it again, and to embrace it again, and to embrace it again, and to embrace it again. Life will be full of temptations. Life will be full of snares. Life will be full of horrible things. But by faith, that He is working in us, we are brought again and again and again to know of the love of Jesus Christ. That's what He says here. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us, by the Spirit which He hath given us. The Bible says that baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. That means that the Lord has brought you, just today, in this case, it's going to be Molly Chun. The Lord has brought Molly Chun to a place where once there was an unconcerned heart, and then there was a condemned heart. But now, in flooding the grace of Jesus Christ into her conscience, there's an uncondemned heart. What a blessing. Molly, the blessing of an uncondemned heart is that you are free to commune with God completely unrestricted. You are able to enjoy the peace of a conscience that's salved by the knowledge of what Christ has done for sinners. And you're able to go to God, not just today, publicly, but all the days of your life, with the boldness of a daughter to her father, a heavenly father who is loved and provided for all. So today we're going to have a baptism, Lord willing, and we're going to have a testimony. Brother Michael's going to share his testimony of a heart that has been brought to enjoy the goodness of God through conviction. Before that, though, what John says is a mark of a child of God is they have love one for another. Paul said in Corinthians, said this way in Corinthians, he said, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Another place he said that a Christian weeps with those who weep. They rejoice with those who rejoice. See, the Christian mindset is not one that is only affected by what's happening in my life. But a Christian is affected, moved with compassion because Jesus was moved with compassion towards me. A Christian displays the bowels, the deep-seated mercies and care and love because Christ has showed deep mercy and care and love for me. And so I want us to take a few minutes to have some prayer and just talk for a minute to Sister Vivian. I'm so thankful you're here today, Vivian. You're in the right place. For those of you who don't know, Vivian was working on Wednesday at Walmart. And she left work and was driving on Highway 15 in Blue Mountain. And she had a wreck. And the person that she had a wreck with was on a motorcycle. And he died. And so, obviously, Sister Vivian is hurting today. And Sister Christy and their family. The battle is the Lord's. Thursday was a pretty heavy day for me. We were in Texas trying to pray for Vivian. At the same time, on a very personal level, there was in Memphis, there was a court hearing the hope was that the parental rights would be terminated to my sister Rebecca's daughter, Imani. Her biological father has been completely uninvolved, and we thank God for that. So the court hearing was Thursday, and my dad had to testify, and there were lots of accusations, lies about threats and about hiding and all sorts of lies that were there. And of course, you know, we're waiting back, looking at phone updates and texts and wondering what happened. And it's a helpless feeling because your fate is in the hands of another. Your fate is in the hands of a judge. And you don't know what the judge will think, what he will believe, what he will see. We see the truth, we see reality, we see something else. Well, praise the Lord, the judge ruled in our favor, and the parental rights were terminated, and Imani's daddy can now adopt her. We praise the Lord for that so, so much. But in thinking about that, and thinking about Vivian, my thoughts returned again and again and again to Hebrews chapter 6. what the Bible says about Jesus. When your heart condemns, when you feel helpless, when you're not in control, when you can't do anything, the Bible says that that stories of the Old Testament about those cities of refuge were that they had a greater fulfillment than something that can just save you here in this life. You know the story of the cities of refuge in the Old Testament, right? When someone had, and it's really specific, when someone had done something to where others might want to get vengeance. They hadn't done it on purpose. It wasn't their fault. Just like what happened with Vivian, wasn't her fault. And yet you still weren't out of danger, were you? There was only one place, or seven places, the only one place close to you could go. And that was the city of refuge. And as long as you were in the city of refuge, you were safe. Take a step out, you're not safe anymore. But in the city of refuge, you're safe. Well, that's a neat story. I mean, it was a blessing to those who endured that in those days. But eventually, a judge would rule on that case. And like then, like now, you would hope the judge would rule the right way. Well, here's what all that was pointing to. That was all pointing to Jesus Christ. There is a judge over every one of us. He will rule. And this judge knows all the facts. He knows them well, doesn't he? But the Bible calls Jesus Christ a refuge, and it calls Jesus Christ an advocate. 1 John 2. We have an advocate, an attorney, one who will go to bat for us. And as many have said in the past, it's a wonderful truth, the advocate is the son of the judge. Isn't that good to know? But also, we have a city of refuge. We have a refuge. There's a place where nothing can get at us. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's only for those who are in Christ. There is nothing but condemnation for those who are outside of Christ. So the Bible says that those who find that Jesus Christ is truly a refuge, they flee. They run. They run. And in the city of refuge, in Jesus Christ, they find one who loves them, one who cares for them, one who dries their tears, one who is with them in their pain, and one who does not condemn. Brothers and sisters, life is hard, isn't it? Sometimes things get outside of our control. In fact, they're always outside of our control. But there's a place. There's a hiding place. There's a wonderful Savior. His name is Jesus. I would encourage all of those, all of you who have not publicly put your faith in Him, to run for Him for refuge. Vivian, I'm so glad you're here today because you're in the right place. I said it before, I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is a refuge. He's a strength. He's a very present help in trouble. If God does not condemn you, this is what Romans 8 says. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. If Christ doesn't condemn, you're safe in him. So we'll weep with you and we'll mourn with you. But we will also point you to the hope and the refuge that's found in Jesus. No other ground, but Jesus is solid ground. Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.